Genesis chapter 37, we're going to go there. Genesis chapter 37, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate the time that you've set aside for the Lord. I'm afraid that in America, Sunday has just become another day in most people's mind, but I guess that's why I have a heightened appreciation for those who understand that Sunday is the Lord's day. And thank you for honoring the Lord by being here. And I don't think there's anything wrong with this country. And you say, preacher, there's a lot of things wrong with the country. I get that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with this country that couldn't be solved if we could just get every single young couple in America just to get them little babies up, get the children up, get them ready, and head to Sunday school on Sunday morning. And sit with them in church and just get back to this. Listen, folks, we don't just say this. It's just not a cliche. The Bible has the answers. It really does. And so thank you again for coming and being a part of this. I promise you that I've studied. I don't take for granted the time that people take to come and sit. And if I waste your time, I don't just waste 1 hour. I waste every hour of every person in here. And so we want to hear from the Lord this morning. I'm excited about the message. I didn't really anticipate the Lord going this direction, but he kept bringing me back to the story of Joseph. And so if you'll go to Genesis 37, Joseph, of course, one of the children, the 11th child of Jacob and Rachel, and one that God had created for a purpose and one whom God had put within his heart a dream. And I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, the importance of a dream. The importance of a dream. Genesis chapter 37. If you're able to, let's stand for the reading of the Bible. Genesis 37 and verse number 1. Genesis 37 verse number 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. By the way, folks, I want to say, as parents, we got to be careful of showing favoritism to our children. But I really think, in a sense, if you'll understand what we just read, Joseph had the desire in his heart to want to do right and to want to honor his father and want to please his father. And the other brothers were not doing right. And here the person, the one that's wanting to do right, reports to dad. Come on, you can say, well, he's being a tattletale. Okay, but we're given information here. And I think that Jacob, the reason his heart was towards Joseph in a way that it wasn't towards the other of them, was simply because, you know what? Because of his desire to do the right thing. Because of his desire to work hard. Because of his desire to honor his father. And folks, listen to me, young people, I will tell you this, no matter what anybody says about you, no matter what the rest of the crowd can make fun of you, you know what? Do right. Amen. Do the right thing. Amen. You know, honor your father and your mother and live the kind of life that's pleasing unto the Lord. You know, don't be the kind of person where people have to constantly come and bring an evil report about what you're doing. And so, you know what? That'll bring favor from the Lord. Now, God loves all of us. Folks, listen to me. Let's transfer this, because this is worth stopping and talking about. Let's transfer this to the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. God loves every single one of his children the same. But I will tell you this, folks. He doesn't bless them all the same. And Joseph here gets a coat of many colors. He gets a reward from his father because of his desire to want to please the Lord. And it brought the favor of his father. Now, the other ones are jealous, but instead of being jealous, why don't do the right thing? Right. A lot of times, you know what, people that are away from the Lord back, so I'm talking about Christians, you know, they're saved, but they're not doing right. And because of that, they don't receive the blessings, and then they get bitter and mad at somebody over here that's being blessed. Hey, can I just give you some good advice? God is not respecter of persons. He loves you as much as he loves anybody, but he blesses those who obey him. So now we see this, verse 3. And he's the son of his old age. And he gives him a coat of many colors. I would have liked to have seen that. That must have been pretty fancy. Verse 4, when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And you know, young people, if you're trying to do the right thing and you keep your heart right with God, God's going to, at a very, 17 years of age, he's right. He's a teenager right here. And getting ready to launch out in life, and God begins to put a dream into his life, give him something that he can look towards as far as God's will for his life. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Oh, I wish I could get up here and tell you that if you'll do right, everybody will like you. If you follow God, everybody will like you. If you receive from God the will and purposes of your life, and you're excited about it, and you talk about it, and you want to pursue it, I wish I could tell you everybody's going to applaud you, but that's not the case. We'll talk about dream killers in just a minute. But there's always people in your life that wants to be a dream killer, you know. They don't want to do right, and they don't want you to do right. And you know what? Because they're not doing right, God's not communicating with them and blessing them the way that he wants to. God wants to. I want to go to everybody that may be out of sorts and say, you know, you're one decision away from the blessings of the Lord. Right. You know, just lose the rebellious spirit. Just stop deciding you're going to live your own life and do your own thing and you don't care what God. Listen, if you'll just get into the Bible and say, God, give me a vision. Give me a dream. Show me your will. I want to love you, and I want to obey you, and I want to please you. And if the Bible says it's right, then it's right. And if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. And I'm going to stop inserting my opinion in everything. It's just amazing what God will do. He dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And this is why they're upset with him. You got to understand. But this is a dream, and it did come true, folks, by the way. And when we were all in the field, we're binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheave. Now, he's got 10 older brother. This is the younger brother. How many of you had a younger brother? Amen. How many of you at times, come on, be truthful, had homicidal thoughts about your younger brother? All right? A few of us, all right? That's maybe a little extreme. Not that we would actually do it, but, you know, there is this, you know, oh, my goodness sakes. And so he's telling this dream and about their sheaves bowing down to his sheaves. In verse 8, his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And by the way, we're not going to get there, but you can fast forward, folks, later on. And here we have God taking Joseph. Man, talk about a life worth studying. You know, I think about Joseph, I always think about this. You can't keep a good man down. And you know what? There was a lot of setbacks, and there was a lot of struggles. And there was times where I think he thought this dream's never going to come true. But you know what? If you'll just be faithful, and you'll weather the storms, and you'll understand that God's going to have to take you through some things before he can allow you to realize the dream that he has for you. And you just are patient and faithful, obedient. Don't worry about what everybody says. Don't worry about whatever accusations are hurled. You preacher, I thought that this dream was going to come true, and Joseph did too, and all of a sudden he's a slave. And he thought it was going to come true, and all of a sudden he's a prisoner. But folks, listen to me. Even the setbacks in life between you and the realization of your dream is part of God's plan. And you're never going to appreciate what God has for you if you didn't have to go through some struggles. We're going to talk this morning. I hope it's a help to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help each and every one of us. Nobody's here by accident. And Lord, I believe that you create each and every one of us, Lord, in our mother's womb. Lord, there's not a uh-oh. God never looked down one time and said, where did they come from? Everybody's here. Everybody was created by God. Everybody's created for his purpose, for your purposes, God. And Lord, we need your help. Brother Hawks, you did such a good job again. Lord, there's many devices in the heart of man. But thank God for the law of the Lord. It shall stand. Lord, I just pray, dear God, that as we maneuver and as through life, as we try to discern your will, dear God, that we'll be careful not to follow our heart, our emotions. They can change so much, but help us to get into the Word of God and allow the Bible to direct us and settle us. And thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that can fine-tune your will in our lives and direct us and help us. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd put within the heart of everyone in this room this morning, if they don't already have it, Lord, give them a dream. Help them to understand that they're here for reasons and purposes, and you have a will for their life. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless. We pray in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. The Bible is a book full of stories of overcomers. Now think about that. You can't name for me a Bible hero. Come on, name whatever Bible hero you want to, and you will see if you study their life that they were required to overcome obstacles in their lives. Right. Nobody has a clear path to success. And in Genesis chapter 37, we're introduced to a young man by the name of Joseph. Now, folks, he was number 11 of 12 children. What do you think about that? God had great things that he had created Joseph to accomplish. Now listen to me, but between him and where he was and the greatness that he was to achieve, there were going to be some obstacles and there was going to be some setbacks. He would face, well, we can't study his whole life this morning. We're going to stay in chapter 37, but he would face betrayal. He would face setbacks. He would have to face trials and testings. And he'll have to face times where he feels like God has completely forgotten about him and forsaken him. And by studying his life, folks, listen to me, the one thing that I guess I take away from it is thank God for the faith of Joseph. Thank God that God gave him in his youth at 17. Come on, young people. God wants to put something in your heart as a young person. There ought to be inside of you, every young person in this room, there ought to be inside of you a burning desire to do the will of God. Come on, that holy unrest, that holy stirring in your heart where you know, maybe you don't know the specifics yet. Maybe you don't know what it is. Maybe you don't know what all God is going to use you for, but there ought to be an excitement and an expectation that God has something great for me to do in this world. God has created me for purposes. He has a plan for my life. And I pray that you'll start dreaming a dream. Dream this dream. Now, let me talk to you about this because I believe so, with all my heart that a dream is important. Think about this. You study the life of Joseph. And we can learn the secrets to overcoming the obstacles. That's a whole different study. But today we're not going to have time to study all that Joseph had to overcome. But I do believe that we will discover why he was able to live his life as an overcomer. And it's because in his youth he got a dream. I want to preach this morning on the importance of a dream. Here's the question. Do you have a dream? Do you have a dream? If not, let me tell you this. God wants to give you one. And I want to stop because this is really a salvation message. But I want to stop here and say this. You know, before you can ever get a dream from God, you need to become one of his children. Amen. You know, every single one of us, folks, need to have that time in our life where we're saved. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to listen to everything I have to say because it's all out there and it's all real and it's all possible for your life. But it's got to start with a new birth. Amen. You must be born again. You must be born again. Did God have a will for your life? Yes, he did. He had a will for my life. But you know, that will started the day that I walked in the Rock Run Baptist Church north of Brazil, Indiana. I heard an old-time preacher, come on, old-time religion, old-time preacher, just open a King James Bible and preach on heaven and preach on hell. And heaven, he made sound so wonderful. You know why? Because it is. Amen. And hell, he made sound so horrible. You know why? Because it is. Right. But he didn't just talk about those things. He talked about Jesus. For God so loved the world. Folks, listen to me. There's enough gospel in John 3:16 to save the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're not saved, say, preacher, I don't know 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. At the end of the message, we're going to have an invitation. I would love to have you come. Brother Nichols will be at the back door. I'm sorry. I want to apologize ahead of time. I'm kind of in semi-isolation, so I'm staying up on the platform because of some of the cancer treatment I'm going through. But you know what? He can give you my number. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to set up an appointment with you. Listen, nothing's more important than somebody coming to Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk mostly to Christians because even people that are saved, I'm talking to them. It seems like that they have no direction. They're just kind of floating through life. They're trying to, come on, week in, week out, get up, go to work. By the way, good things. But it doesn't seem like that they have this dream, this burning desire, this thing that they know that God wants them to do. And it's not going to be the same for everybody. You know, I can share my testimony. My testimony is God called me into the ministry at same age as Joseph, 17 years of age. God come down and he said, I want you to spend your life preaching the Bible. But that's not God's will for everybody. And you know what? My dreams may not be your dream. Your dream may not be my dream, but God has something for you to do. Come on, he has a purpose for your life. Amen. William Carey said this. Think about this statement, folks. I am not afraid of failure. I am afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter. He was, of course, the great missionary. God used William Carey to bring thousands of people to Jesus Christ. But he said this, I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter. Everyone needs a dream. Come on, Sunday school teachers, get a dream for your class. I'm so excited about our Sunday school teachers. I'm so excited when I go down and I look in the room and they put effort and time and decoration and they love their students. And they listen, you know what? We have 20 young people that grew up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that's out in full-time service in the ministry somewhere. And you know what? Most of them sat in Darcy Mowry's Sunday school class. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Moms, dads, listen to moms. God bless you. We've got so many ladies in here that are preacher. You know what? I don't have time to dream a dream because I never get a chance to sleep. You know, you're chasing kids and up in the middle of the night. And you know what, though? Wait a minute. You're living the dream. You're living the dream. You got an opportunity to influence and raise those children to serve the Lord. That's not some second class thing. That's one of the most awesome. We're getting ready for Mother's Day. Man, let's give mamas a plug. Amen. I think the old saying said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And boy, thank God for faithful mothers. I thank God that I had a faithful mother. I thank God I had a mama that prayed for me. Even when I was struggling, even when the devil was making a bid for my life, even when I was torn in which direction I should go, the one thing I always had was a mother that prayed for me. Amen. You know what? She dreamed a dream for me before I knew how to dream it for myself. Moms, you're important. Dads, you're important. Amen. So thank you so much for just giving your life to raising your children. Sunday school teachers get a dream. Bus workers get a dream. I remember when I became a bus captain the first time and they gave me that bus and I walked out to an empty bus and I got on my, I stood at the front of that bus and it was empty. There wasn't anybody on it. The driver wasn't there. My workers weren't there. We hadn't picked up a kid yet. And I stood at the front of that bus and you know what I did? I dreamed a dream. I dreamed a dream. And you know what we need, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, look right up here, listen to me, and I'm not going to play God. I think God can do it. I think God can direct you. I think God can talk to you. He wants to talk to you. But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't get some young people really excited about the bus ministry at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're going to watch that ministry die. And I think about Jeff Reiser. And I watched his bus unload this morning. I watched those kids come pouring in. I remember when he was a 17-year-old young man. Come on, just like Joseph. And he was getting ready to graduate from high school. And you know what? He came to my office for his senior appointment, you know, talked to the preacher about the future. And I said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, you want to go to Bible college? He looked at me like, no, I don't want to go to Bible college. Jeff struggled. I'll just, probably you know it, but Jeff struggled during school. I mean, he was a hard worker. He made great grades, almost straight A's. But I'm going to tell you something. He had to work at it. He took homework home every night. I know I was his teacher. He took homework home every night. And every morning he showed up with his homework done. And you know what? It doesn't matter. What comes easy for one person may be hard for another. But he sat in my office, and the idea of graduating after 12 years and then going off to a place where he had to go to class again, that was like a nightmare, okay? And I said, so if you're not going to do that, what are you going to do? Listen to me. I want you to get this. 17-year-old boy sat in my office with tears in his eyes, and he said, I want to help my grandpa, Bo, on his bus route. And I'm going to help him, and then when he gets too old to do it, I'll take it. And you know what? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You want to serve the Lord? Everybody's looking for this big, giant thing. You want to serve the Lord? You want to see something remarkable? You want to see miracles? Man, get in one of these buses and take one of those sections back there. And just say, I'm not going to quit praying. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. The bus captains and the bus drivers and the bus workers, they're going to have a good judgment day one of these days when they stand there and all those children and all those families and all those young people that came to Jesus Christ. Man, why don't you just decide I'm going to fill up a bus every single Sunday. And I'm not going to stop knocking on doors and praying until God fills this bus. And I'm going to spend my time wiping tears at Blessed Hope as I watch children come to the Lord Jesus. I'm just saying somebody needs to get a dream. Amen. Somebody needs to get eat up with it. Somebody needs to, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Yeah, but this person's doing this and that person's doing this. And this person don't go to church anymore. And this person is on some social media platform mocking the church. And I don't care. Don't worry about the voices. What are you doing for the Lord? What dream has God given you? The importance of a dream. Now, let me give you some things that I hope you'll give some practical points here. Well, we need young people. I want you to get it in your heart. I want a young person. Some of you young people, you need to come to an altar at the end of this and just ask God to give you a dream. Come on, live clean, live holy, be patient. But while you're doing these things, dream big, dream big. Dream of the future spouse that God has for you. Dream of the future family that God has for you. Ask God to use you in some great way to accomplish His will and His desires for your life. Let me give you some things that will help you this morning. Number one, make sure that your dream is from the Lord. Make sure that your dream is from the Lord. If we're not careful, folks, sometimes we just have our own dreams. And then we want to somehow get God to checkmark them. You know, God, this is what I'm going to do. Are you listening to me? God, this is what I'm going to do. Now, I want you to bless it. And I think God just stands back and goes like this. Really? Really? Now, don't show up with a piece of paper and a list of all the things that you are going to do, and you've already made up your mind you're going to do it, and then you want God. Why don't you show up with a blank piece of paper? And just let God fill it out. Hey, His will is better than our will. Brother Jeff, I need the fans on signal, okay? I was pointing at him going like this, and he's just back there looking at the preacher and going, hey, man. All right, he's into it. God's giving him a dream. I just had to interpret it, amen. Sometimes we have dreams of our own, and then we want to claim that God is the one that gave us the dream. Listen, let me ask you a question. Do your dreams violate the word of God? Are they really within the will of God? This is why you ought to seek godly counsel, folks. If you have young people, if you've got godly parents and you've got a pastor that loves you and prays for you, and you've got a direction you're trying to head in life, and they're holding up stop signs and red flags are coming up, you ought to listen to godly counsel. Because, folks, listen, the one thing we got to be careful of is our hearts. And I appreciate Brother Hawks. He spoke on the heart. But you ought to get on our website, listen to the Sunday School Hour. It was so good. But, folks, there's many devices in the heart of man. But the law of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And our hearts can change. Come on. I mean, you watch little kids growing up and, you know, they want to be an astronaut because they saw a rocket take off on TV set. And then they see a fire truck go by and they want to be a fireman. And, you know, and that's good. At least they want to be something. I'm not worried about the kids that at least have some kind of dream. I'm worried about somebody. You ask them what they're going to do. I don't know. 18, 19, 20, what are you going to do? Like, I don't know. I'm waiting for the next video game to come out. You know? Come on. Come on, folks. God gave you a life. Make it count for something. You know, the devil's going to fill your life with distractions, but listen to me. We got to be careful. Make sure that when you get a dream that it's from the Lord. That it's from the Lord. Seek the Lord's will for your life. Make sure that it's a thing that brings glory and honor to God. Let me just say this. No, young lady, God did not call you to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. Or a professional gamer. Or the next WWE wrestling champion, all right? God didn't put that stuff in your heart. Watching stupid things on TV put that in your heart. I had a seventh great girl years ago. I mean, in our Christian school, we had a lot of kids come through. And by the way, we had a lot of our bus kids in school during this time. But I went to her desk and I noticed all of a sudden she's just kind of quit on her work. She's not finishing anything. She's not working on schoolwork. And this has gone on for 2 or 3 days. And I finally went to her and said, you know, what are you doing? You're not putting any effort into this. She was a good student and always seemed to get her work done. All of a sudden she just quit on me. And she looks up all starry-eyed, seventh grade girl. And she said, I don't need to do this anymore. I said, why? She said, because I'm in a few years, I'm going to go on American Idol. And I'm going to win American Idol. I said, so what are you going to do on American Idol? And she said, I'm going to sing. Well, folks, I worked with the teen choir. I'm not trying to be mean, Brother Nichols, but she would go on American Idol, all right, and they would, you know. But you know, she meant it. She meant seventh grade girl quit doing her schoolwork because she's got, you know why? Because she had a dream. Let me ask you something. Did that dream come from the Lord? You know, we can decide we're going to do something and somehow get God in on it. I've watched people make decisions absolutely opposite to Scripture. And then they want to talk about these little signs along the way that God has given them to show them that they're doing the right thing. Why don't they pull out the Bible and show me some scriptures that show me they're doing the right thing? Because if I can pull out my Bible and show them scriptures that they're doing the wrong thing, and they want to put, come on, if we're not careful, we can build up anything into the will of God while we're ignoring the plain teachings of the Word of God. And folks, the will of God will never go against the Word of God. The will of God, come on. It's not going to put you on a road towards worldliness. That's never the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But right there, I know I just rushed through that, but there's the formula for people who want to find the will of God. And you know what? It's not through worldliness. It's not through sinfulness. It's not through uncleanness. It's this matter of presenting our bodies holy, acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable service. The young person that's going to find the will of God is the one that will turn their back. Come on, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm not going to worry about the world. I'm not going to try to fit in the mold of this world. What I'm going to do is turn my back on this world and turn my heart and my eyes to Jesus Christ and His will. And anything in my life that does not please the Lord, I'm going to get rid of. You know why? Because I want to discover what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You cannot come up with a better plan than God's will for your life. You cannot. So make sure, number one, that your dream is from God. Number two, beware of dream killers. So here Joseph is, and you know, he's a kid that's doing the right thing. I'm sure he's not perfect. But he's doing the right thing, and he's trying to please his father, and he's found favor in the eyes of his father. And you know, when he goes to work, he works. And you know what? He goes out and does the right thing. And he's got a bunch of brothers goofing off wanting to do the wrong thing and making fun of him for doing the right thing. And like I said, don't worry about it. But if you get a dream, come on, if you really get a dream, and it's from the Lord, and he gives you a purpose, and he gives you a direction in your life, I will tell you this, watch this. You know what? There's going to be people that are dream killers. There's always people that come along and try to talk down your dream. Here, Joseph has a dream. Come on, he actually was given two of them, and he goes, I won't reread the verses, but he goes to his brother, and he's excited about his dream, and you know what? They hate him for it. He tells the second dream to his brothers and his father, and his father rebukes him, and his brothers hate him even more. And I want to just say this, folks. You know what? When you get all excited about your dreams, don't be surprised if not everybody else is excited. If you decide you're going to, come on, turn your back on the world and go serve the Lord, the world's not going to get it. They're not going to understand. I hate to say it, but even your own family members a lot of times will be your biggest critics. But you know what? Are we called here to make our family happy? Are we called here to make the world happy? Are we called here to follow the will of God? And Joseph, you know what he's like? Listen, I tell you, I tell our young people from time to time, there's three kinds of people in your life. Three kinds of people in your life. Those who believe in you. And by the way, yes, we can talk about dream killers, but you know what? Thank God for people in your life that are encouraging you to do the will of God. Come on, encouraging you to follow the Lord. Amen. The ones that cheerlead right decisions. Yes. Because there's going to be three kinds of people in the world. There's going to be those that believe in you. There's going to be those that don't believe in you. Boy, I hate to bust your bubble, but there's going to be those that give no thought to you at all. You say, well, people don't care. You're right, they don't. Most people don't care one way or another. You know, they're busy trying to follow their dreams. But you know what? I want to thank God for the people in my life that, yes, they were following their dreams. But you know what? They also noticed a young man that had a dream. And you know what? They poured some gas on that fire. They encouraged me when I was a young man. Every one of you, I think, could stand up and say, come on, us adults, we can look back in our teenage years. We can look back in our early 20s. And we can say, there were people in my life that God sent that encouraged me to do the right thing, that encouraged me to follow the dream that God had put in my heart. And by the way, the older you get, the more valuable those people are and the more you really appreciate what they did. And by the way, let's just stop senior saints and let's talk for a second here, you know. You know what? Let's help these young people. Let's encourage these young people. We got young couples all over this church and they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to raise their kids right. They're trying to follow the Lord and they're trying to serve the Lord. And you know what? Let's not be, come on, a bunch of old grouches sitting around nitpicking about everything that we don't. Let's encourage them. Thank God they're trying. A lot of people out there aren't even trying. They're trying. So, man, let's encourage them. Let's come alongside them. I like stopping these mamas every once in a while back in the foyer, and you can tell they're having one of those days and kids are pulling them in six different directions. And, you know, the kids have been pretty good all week long and hadn't said anything terrible or stupid. And then they walk right up to the preacher and blurt something crazy out. And the mom just like, preacher's going to think my kids are all heathen. No, I know they're all heathens. You know why? Because I was a little heathen. I know. But you know what? They're going to get up to a point one of these days when they get saved. And, you know, they're going to have the Holy Spirit inside of them. And you know what? Come on, hang in there, mom and dad. I'd love coming alongside these moms and saying, listen to me. I mean, she's all frayed and you know, you can tell, you know, her makeup got half done because of the kids. And she hasn't eaten and she's got coffee stains. And I just like to walk up and say, hey, you know what? You're doing a great job. Amen. You hang in there. God's going to do something with these children. God's going to, listen, God's using. Listen, folks, come on. Everybody find something to pick about. Why don't we throw a little gas on the fire for those that are trying to do right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So there's three kinds of people. There's that believe in you, and then there's going to be those that don't believe in you. And then there's going to be those, I call them the encouragers, the discouragers, and the couldn't care lessers. And I've had them all in my life. But not a one of them is going to determine whether or not God's dream is going to come true in my life. Sure. Listen, if you quit pursuing the will of God and you fall short, You can't blame somebody. Come on, you can't put the blame on somebody because you know what? They talk bad about you. Well, nobody thought I could succeed, so I quit. Well, you proved them right. And you gotta know how to handle criticism in life, man. You can turn it into jet fuel.
Yes, sir.
You know what? Come on now. I almost got a license plate when I was 17 that said, "Oh yeah." Some of you need to get some "Oh yeah" into you. Well, you can't. Well, wait a minute. What happened to the verse? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What happened to the verse, with God, nothing's impossible? And you know, if God's put a dream in your heart, folks, not everybody's going to understand, and you're going to get criticized for it. And I mean, sometimes good people just don't get it. And they may say something, and it may seem discouraging, but you got to know what to do with criticism, okay? You got to understand that God even, listen, don't get mad at people, okay? Okay, come on, don't get mad at people. Don't use people as an excuse for success or failure. Because God can help you. God can help you. People are, it seems like, neither for you or against you. Most people don't care. You know, there's a guy that came to my office. I like telling this story once. So I came to my office, and he had come to church for a while, and he started missing. So I called. I said, "Hey, man, let's talk. What's going on?" He said, "When I walk in church," he said, "I just feel like everybody's thinking bad about me." And I looked at him and I said, "Man, I said, take a deep breath." I said, "I'm going to tell you the truth." "Okay. Most people aren't thinking about you at all." Yeah, come on. That's kind of the definition of a narcissist, okay? To think that, you know, if I woke up every morning thinking Jerry Ross the entire day is going to consume the thoughts of every single person in my church, I would probably need to go get some help somewhere, okay? Yeah, you know, preacher, you mean you go a whole week and never think about me? No, I pray for you. Come on, that's part of my prayer disciplines. I pray for church members and, you know, for a few seconds. And wow, I know, you're the selfie generation. You're the ones that think we really are interested in what you had for lunch. We're not. We don't care. We got our own thing going. That's why, again, let me say this. You ought to be really thankful for people that do take an interest. Come on, let's be that crowd, okay? But most people, and it doesn't make them bad, but they're doing their own thing, okay? Then there's the people that take the time to notice you and take the time to see that you're struggling and come alongside you and whoo, come on, man, thank God for them. Amen. And then there's, come on, let's not be in this group. Come on, Christians can get in this group where there's the people that just, you know, always got a negative thing to say. And hey, come on, how does that help people? And so you know what? That's what you're going to face in life. If you're going to chase that dream, if you're going to pursue the dream God's given for you, you got to understand those people exist, and don't let them determine whether or not you succeed or fail. Number two, remember, people are not your enemy. Listen, don't listen to the dream killers, but also don't hate them. Understand that they are just allowing themselves to be used of the devil. I don't mean this wrong, but I just considered the source. And by the way, folks, there's been times I've said stupid things to people, and you have too, that we look back and said, that was really not an encouragement. That was a dumb thing to say. And so, you know, don't get mad at people. For the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When I say they're being used of the devil, I don't mean they're demon-possessed. I mean all of us at times has had the devil whisper something stupid in our ear, and it came out of our mouth, and it hurt somebody or discouraged somebody, and later on we're like, what in the world was that? And by the way, folks, listen to me. It's good to get that right with the Lord, and I know we can't sometimes fix everything that we've done, but it's also right to get good to get it right with people. You know, it's like right now. I mean, I don't play God. I can't play God. He's very good at doing his job without Jerry Ross's help. But in a moment like this in a message, God could be bringing to mind something that you've said recently to somebody. And, you know, well, what about just going back to that person and say, you know what? I said something the other day, and that was not an encouragement, and that was not a blessing. I was so out of place. Okay. You say, but preacher, it was true. Well, you know, not everything true needs to be said.
That's right.
A lot of times there's a different way to come around about it. So let's just listen to the Lord. But you know what? Don't get mad at people. Number three, reject the drama and focus on the dreams. Wow. When I went to Shakamak High School, okay, I was in the public school until I was in through 10th grade. Dad started a Christian school here at our church. And so in the 11th and 12th grade, I want to help you public school kids, okay? You know, so I had to go to public school for, you know, 10 years. Got to finish here at the Christian school. But you know what? The one thing that is in the public school, drama. Every day is drama. You know, they had at Shakamak High School something called the drama club. No, it really was. You could join the drama club. Okay? Well, I think the whole school joined the drama club. Whether they showed up to the meetings or not, they were all card-carrying members of the... You know, folks, listen to me. People that are constantly creating drama don't have dreams. Or maybe they do have, but they've lost them because they're more focused on drama than dreams. And now, folks, listen to me. I love people, and God bless them all. And I pray for everybody. But you know what? Watch this. I am too focused on doing the will of God to get caught up in all the silly drama. Come on, drama. Drama can happen at a public school, but come on, drama can happen at the Christian school. Come on, drama can happen in church. And next thing you know, everybody's caught up in talking about things that don't matter and are silly. What I'm saying is this, reject the drama, focus on the dream. You can waste your life and get, listen, you know what these 11 brothers did? They're walking around hating on their brother, walking around plotting how they're going to get even with their brother, walking around talking about he got a coat and I didn't. That was the whole focus of their life. They were just as created by God as Joseph was, but they gave their life to drama and didn't get a dream. Well, this is a good thing for me to blow the trumpet on, because I think social media has created so much drama that it's ridiculous. And people literally get their entire lives controlled by people that are drama queens. Come on, drama mamas. There's drama daddies too. You talk about women gossiping all you want. In my experience, I've listened to more gossip from men than I have women. And next thing you know, we're talking about everything that don't matter and the things that are so important in our life. Come on, what are we doing? Eleanor Roosevelt said this, great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. Listen, determine to think great thoughts. If you're going to achieve great things, you've got to think great thoughts. Don't spend your life in small-mindedness. Okay? Watch this. Can I give you a litmus test on whether or not you should participate in something? Preacher, I'm getting drug into this. I'm getting drug into that. And it's taken my time. It's taken my energy. Let me just give you a litmus test that'll help you to know whether or not you should participate in something. Focus your time and energies on things that, watch this, I'm going to give you three things, on things that better you personally, that will genuinely help people that's around you, and that will bring glory to God. Now, should I get involved in this? Is it going to help me personally? Is it going to help people in a real way? And is it going to bring glory to God? If it's not going to do those three things, look right up here. I don't have time for it. Okay, take your wallet out. Come on, your membership to the drama club. Tear it up. Find a dream. Focus on the will of God. Amen. Let me say last of all this, refuse to surrender your dream. Refuse to surrender your dream. If your dream is from the Lord, no matter what happens, refuse to surrender your dream. Listen, boy, this is the whole life of Joseph. I don't have time to teach it. But your dream might be postponed. And it was in Joseph's life for a while. But you know what? It still was from God, and God was still going to make it happen. Young people, don't get impatient. Amen. Preacher, I feel like God wants me to do this, and God wants me to do that, but it just seems like right now I'm in a place where I can't do what I know God wants me to do. Well, wait a minute. Joseph was too. But you know what? While he was there, he said, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to help people. I'm going to do the right thing. And I'm just going to trust that one of these days, God's going to open the door and God's going to make a way. And listen, there are going to be, as you pursue the will of God, there are going to be obstacles and there are going to be setbacks. And I'm talking to about a young man that had this dream and had this great coat and had the favor of his father upon him. Come on, all that's symbolic of our relationship with the Lord. And next thing you know, he's got 10 brothers that tear off his coat and throw him in a pit and kill an animal and put blood on the coat and rend the coat and sell him off as a slave. And I'm sure while he's down in that pit, I'm sure while he's tied up in the wagon, being taken, come on, to Egypt, I'm sure he's thinking to himself, Lord, I didn't see this part in the dream. And I guess, you know, from time to time, a preacher just needs to come up to and remind you of these kind of stories in the Bible and just tell you, hey, you know what? Listen, God hasn't forgotten where you're at. But preacher, this circumstance and this, and it just feels like right now, I feel like a prisoner. Well, Joseph knew what it felt like to feel like a prisoner. You know, I just feel like I can't get to where God wants me to get to. Hey, listen, look right up here. Serve God where you're at. Amen. Love God. Don't get a bitter spirit. Listen, patience and obedience. Patience and obedience. Keep a right spirit. Yeah. Come on, don't get caught up in the drama. Don't let that root of bitterness start. Come on, it's not going to help you. Don't start questioning God. He knows what he's doing. Yeah. Hey, this is for somebody today. I don't know who it's for, but I'm telling you, there was times in my Christian life when I needed to hear that, and there's somebody here that needs to hear it. God's not done. Hey, come on. The last chapter hasn't been written. There's something God has for you out there. He's not done. He's not finished yet. Don't surrender your dream. I want to tell this quickly. I do. But, you know, in 1987, I graduated from Bible college, and God put a dream in my heart. Please listen to what I'm going to say. I'm going to be real transparent with you for a few minutes. God put a dream in my heart. During the last year of Bible college, I know God wanted me to go to Brazil, Indiana, and start a church. Coming right out of Bible college, I went. Come on. Me and Cheryl scraped together enough money to rent a little storefront. And, folks, listen to me. I didn't know how much did you know about church planting? I didn't know anything. Honestly, I mean, I didn't take a class in college on it. Jim Townsend, I called him and talked to him a little bit about it. He sent me some notes, but I didn't know what I was doing. We rented a little storefront, and so I had a little two-room office area with one bathroom. One was big enough to put 30 chairs in it. The other one was smaller, but we could, you know, take the kids. And my wife was over there kind of watching kids and being the nursery worker every service, by the way. Okay, I'm in there preaching. God fills up that little room. I still don't know what I'm doing. I didn't go raise support. I'm working a job and a half. I'm trying to do this thing. And we went over there, and for 7 years, you know what, man, we did everything. I will promise you this. Look right up here. I didn't know a lot of things that I know now, and I could have done such a better job. But for 7 years, we poured our heart into that thing. I mean, we poured our heart into it. And by the way, let me just say this. God blessed it. People were saved there. People trusted Christ there. Every soul that was ever saved in that little church. We got to see a lot of what I call street kids come to Jesus. You know, kids that parents don't care about them. And you know what? If the people that have jobs don't want a place to go to church, I'll reach to whoever I can reach. And for 7 years, and I won't go through the whole story, but at the 7-year mark, God closed the door and he just told me it's time to shut the thing down. And I can remember going to the front yard in front of that church, put my shoulder underneath the sign of our church, lifting it up, taking it, throwing it on a burn pile behind the church. And you know what? I sat there and watched that thing burn. And I thought, I remember sitting there thinking, God, what? What? There's churches that need to be planted. What? This community needs a church. God opened another door. By the way, Brother Liffitt came to me this past Sunday or Wednesday, I don't remember, one of the services, and he handed me a little envelope, and there was a paper inside that envelope. If you go to our 30th anniversary little book that we put out on our 30th anniversary, he'd copied a page from 1994, and it said March of 1994, Pastor Jerry Ross's first Sunday working at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, which was this past month, 30 years ago. And so God brought me here. And you know what? But I never lost that. I never, God, this is where you want me. And by the way, I believe I'm standing right in the perfect will of God today. I really do. But there was always this thing about, you know, what was that? And Lord, we need churches planted. And what was that? So for 11 years, I'm the Christian school principal. For 11 years, I'm the youth pastor here. I'm a teacher down in the Christian school. What'd you do? I just poured my life into it. And I mean it. I promise you. This church got 150% of Jerry Ross. There was no distractions. There was no other thing in my life. Me and my wife, we put everything into this. Everything into this. And for 11 years, I did that. And then my dad had a stroke. And then a year later, he felt like he couldn't continue on as pastor. And the church here graciously asked me to pastor the church here. So in 2005, I began. So next year, it'll be 20 years pastoring, 11 years. You know, I'm telling you this for a reason. But all the time that this is happening, all the time that we're being blessed and used and all this, I mean, good thing, I know this is where we're supposed to be, but you always look back and go, Lord, what happened to that dream though? And then, so 2005, in 2007, I get a call from a preacher that's pastoring a little church over in Bloomfield. And I tried to be a blessing to this preacher. I tried to be a friend to him. I mean this. I tried to encourage him. And he told me, he said, the church is down to nothing. And they're getting ready to close the doors. And they're getting ready to sell the property. And I said, well, they can't. I said, why are they doing that? Because they can't pay the bills. And I said, would you set up a meeting? Now, folks, listen to me. Are you getting this? And I said, could you set up a meeting with the three older people left in that church? You know, and here's a churchman, they can't afford to pay the bills. And I go over before that preacher leaves, right before his last Sunday, and I meet with him and those three people, and I said, listen to me, I don't want to see this church closed. And I said, well, we can't pay the bills. I said, why don't you let Blessed Hope pay the bills? Well, we don't have a preacher. Why don't you let Blessed Hope rotate some preachers over here? Listen, let's keep this thing open. And basically, folks, I know we had three people, but it was like starting a church. And I come back from that meeting. By the way, I want to say to all the men in this church, thank you. Because I went and had that meeting, came back, met with our deacons and met with the men of our church and just said, guys, let me just tell you something that I feel like just dropped in our lap and I feel like we got to do something about it. And I remember one of our older men raising our hand and saying, preacher, have you prayed about this? And do you believe this is the will of God? I said, 100%. He said, let's do it. And that we came out of that meeting with a unified heart. And people said, you know what? We're going to take some of what God has given us here. And we're going to pour into another church and another ministry. And we pastored that church by committee. You know, three different preachers coming over there, rotating out for a year. And then my son-in-law, again, I'm trying to keep it short, but my son-in-law, Gerald Clancy, graduated with his master's degree from Bible college, was here. I said, I got to drive over to this church and we got to fix a couple things. You want to help me? And he started asking me about it on the way over. And he walked in the building and I'm talking about how we got it and talked about how we're praying that God sends somebody. And all of a sudden I look back and he's just standing there at the auditorium, tears. And he took that church. Amen. That was 2008. He took that church. Folks, 2016, I've been driving down to Princeton, Indiana for about 3 years, off and on, praying, saying, God, there's nothing here. Somebody needs to come here. Jonathan Reiser, I won't go through the whole story. I've told it to you before, but he ended up in my office looking at me, tears in his eyes, and said, I don't even want to do it, but God won't leave me alone. I'm supposed to start a church in Princeton. Do you know how to do it? And I thought, well, I know how not to do it. So I figure everything I don't know I did that was wrong, we just turn it around and do the exact opposite. This thing might have a chance, you know. And y'all know the story. That church is doing phenomenal down there. They're getting ready to build a building. They got property to get ready to build a building this summer. By the way, Easter Sunday last week had 117 people in their church. Then you know what? I'm driving over to Jasper. Are you getting this, folks? Okay, well, I look back, God, what's that all about? And you're going to have some disappointments in life. Not everything's going to work. But even what God allowed you to fail at, it can be turned into a success. And you know what we planted just, you know, 2 years ago? 2 years ago, Easter Sunday, 2 years ago, the Living Hope Baptist Church down in Jasper, and James Young is doing a great job, had a record high attendance last Sunday in 2 years, highest he's ever had, 76 people. Amen. You know, well, come on, folks, listen, to God be the glory, great things. Amen. But God still uses people. And you know how he uses people and he's able to use people? He's able to use us if we're willing to go to the, come on, go to the prison and go to the, through the slave time and go through the difficult times and sometimes look back and say, God, I don't know what you're doing. And this don't make any sense to me. And he says, I got a plan. Right. Yeah. And I'm going to use Blessed Oak Baptist Church to plant churches across southern Indiana because I got a young man that knows what it's like to be alone and knows what it's like to wish he had some help and knows what it's like to have to work a job and a half to try to keep food. Listen, I want to say something. I want y'all to listen to me.
Yes, sir.
Those 7 years weren't easy, and but they were not easy. But that woman right there,
Yes. You
wives need to listen to me. You need to stand by your husband. I mean, listen, she made something out of nothing every week. There was times we were trying to pay the bills and trying to pay church bills, and there'd been time I've handed her $12 and said, that's all we've got for groceries this week. And she made it happen. And she never said one discouraging thing. And she was 100% behind it.
Amen.
And she was willing, listen, she didn't get to go to church for years. Because she was in the nursery or somewhere else, and she did it. And she's, listen, that's why this preacher has little patience with this young generation of wives. That first time you got to go through a little bit of a hard time in your marriage, you want to cut and run. That's a bunch of garbage.
Come on, come on.
Okay? You're supposed to leave and cleave till death do us part, to have and to hold from this day forward. Okay? And wives, you know what? God's going to put something in your husband's heart to do. And you know what? You're going to prove who you really are when it seems like he's failing. Are you going to be there to support him? That needs to be said this day and age. Amen. And so here's Joseph. And listen, I'll end by saying this. Easter Sunday. I'm going to make sure I got my numbers right. Easter Sunday. Listen to me. Easter Sunday. God allowed us to have last week 280 people here. Okay? Victory Baptist Church had 73 people there. White River Baptist Church had 117 people. Living Hope Baptist Church had 76. High day, highest day they've had just in 2 years. Getting ready, by the way, we're going to charter this thing, I think, in May. We're going to charter the church. Okay? All right? So, you know what? Hands off. That's what a church is to be. It needs to be birthed, but at some point it needs to become autonomous and we're going to go down there and charter it, and they're on their own then, you know, amen. You want to add those numbers up for fun?
Amen.
546.
Amen.
People were in church last Sunday listening to a gospel message, many people being saved. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. Those don't happen.
That's right.
If Brazil doesn't happen. And I'm talking to some of you that you're going through the crucible. You're going through what's going to test your mettle to see whether or not God can use you.
Amen.
Okay, wives, come on. Stick with that man.
Amen.
Go through the good times, go through the tough times with him. Trust him. He's not always going to get it right. Trust him and support him.
Amen.
Okay, he's going to have enough critics. He don't need one living in the house with him. Stand by him. Love him.
Yes,
trust him. Men, by the way, if they do that, that puts a big responsibility on us. Excuse me, sir. Because if you're going to ask a woman to do that, you better make sure that your dream is coming from the Lord.
Yes.
You're not just out there doing your own thing.
Yes, sir.
Come on, you're living in such a way to bring God's blessing on your life and your wife's life. Come on your family.
Yes,
not doing out here doing some ding-dong things. It's going to end up walking you into a snare and into judgment.
Right.
How about it, young people? Yo, preacher, you don't understand my circumstance. God has a dream he wants to give you. God has a dream, young lady.
Right.
He wants to give you. God has a dream he wants to give you. There's something so good ahead. And the devil wants to mess it up. Don't let him mess it up. Come on, Michael. God's got a dream for you. Ian, let me think about this a minute. Yeah, God's got a dream for Ian. I love just sitting around. I've gone too long. I love just sitting around here and watch all these little kids running around and think, man, what does God have for them? What does God have for them? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Lord, thank you for the times of blessings. Thank you for the mountaintops. Thank you for the victories. Thank you for the valleys. Thank you for the hard times. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you, dear God, that we don't have to walk around like the lost world with no purpose. Lord, thank you that as Christians, we can know that we have a great God. We can know that there's a plan for our life. Oh, Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd help us to seek it out. May we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto you. Help us not to be conformed to the world. Help us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Nothing more exciting to watch young people prove, discover what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Lord, I do pray there's someone here that does not know Jesus as their Savior. Dear Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would you'd bless them. Help them to feel your love right now. Help them to know that there's forgiveness and salvation and transformation available. Lord, we've got to look at this thing of sin. We've got to confront it. We can't run away from it. There's not a one of us that deserve to go to heaven. Holy God, a perfect place. How can sinners go there? Lord, thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Lord, I pray, dear God, that if somebody's here without Christ today, they'd be willing to own their sins, confess their sins, forsake their sins, turn to Christ. Help them to be born again. Help them to be saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Lord, I pray for Christians, dear God, that may be struggling, young people that are struggling. Lord, the devil's doing everything he can to destroy their lives. I just pray, Lord, that they would just latch on to a dream that's from you, a dream that'll help get them through the tough times. Lord, help them to end up where they ought to end up, to be willing to go through the fire, to burn off the dross, to walk the valleys, to face the hard times and not lose faith and not lose faith. Lord, I pray, dear God, for each and every one as they seek the will of God for their life. We pray these things in Jesus' name.